The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Into Moneyline.
I mean, you two hooligans are going to take whatever you want and spin it again, so it's all good.
I want to throw old Donnie a scenario. Ask for a nice Italian hero, slobber that thing in mayo.
Well, first, you're a hero where they're sending you out the door, so.
Wait, you don't say hero?
I said, what's this guy, hero? Well, I need a hero right now? What are you talking about, Superman, Batman? Like, what are you trying to order here?
With Donnie Wrightside?
And by the way, let's look at this market. It's kind of odd because it just doesn't feel like there's, like, Steph Curry to make four threes. Minus 650? I mean, come on. What? Like, it doesn't even, like, compute. You know,
and Kevin Walsh.
Giannis gave him 40 a night. Jimmy Butler, basically, when he's able to shake out the knee, gave him 40 a night. What you really mean to say is Steph is doing what every other star has done other than Kevin Durant.
On Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 159.
And here we are on a Friday Moneyline. It's Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh. The closing of the NBA season, the opening of the NBA offseason. It's no better place to be than spending your Friday afternoon with us, K-Dub. How are we feeling out there?
We're feeling good. We are feeling good. A nice weekend on the docket. I was hoping that was going to include a Game 7 in the NBA Finals. But, you know, in a weird way, I didn't mind it. I think we had a bang up early line. I think we put a nice neat little bow. And I kind of enjoyed getting into the 2023 title odds. I almost feel like I cheapened it a little bit. I think we really could have done 2023 title odds for like 2 hours. So there's still a lot of good stuff coming.
Yeah, there is a lot of good stuff coming. So does that mean like Sunday you're off now? Like there's no reason for betting above the rim, right? Is that what I get the drift of? Like no, like it's going to be a rerun? Green content?
No. What I need to go out there is I need to re-emphasize the 11 names of players that outscored Jason Tatum in the second half. I got a buddy, Boston yes. Celtics fan. He's a good friend of mine. Known him since college.
Yes.
And he also, you know, he does content in sports as well. So I sent out that tweet. And his reply to me was just okay. And so that's how you know he's like very bothered. And it's one of those DRS where you turn the knife or do you let it walk? I let it walk, to be honest with you. I let it walk, mainly because I had my fun sparring session with at Sports Rage, which was more than plenty.
Yes, and that whole Celtics saga of, you got to be kidding me. You're betting against the Celtics. This team is the most complete team we've seen in the last 15 years in the NBA, walking to the title. And I bought in. In that game three, you know what? Celtics might just run it out here. Let me do it. Yeah, my bank account ran the opposite direction, continually backing the Boston Celtics right up to it. Game six, horrendous performance by Jason Tatum when that was the, I don't know, handicap for me, Kevin, that said the Celtics would force a game seven?
No, I think there was plenty there you know, as the series, Donnie, I think it was an even series. So in a weird way, right, a series that didn't go the distance and had every single game decided by double digits, I still feel ultimately like it was an even series. And really the difference, though, was, I don't know if there's an exact way to describe it to the why to people, but the difference is the Boston Celtics just could not protect the basketball. They made things too easy on Golden State. Mm-hmm. They offered up too much momentum to Golden State on a consistent basis. And that's probably where the veteran been there before for Golden State not kicked in. Not in that, oh, we're not turning it over. It's that, oh, we're going to make you pay. Each and every time you make a mistake like that, you're going to pay. And they paid.
They did pay. What did they have, 22 turnovers last night?
23.
Just can't do that. Yeah, at home, in big moments, just giving the basketball away. Now, they're like, it's the same thing like the NFL. Now, granted, one turnover in the NFL doesn't equate to one turnover in the NBA. But when you lump them up, like, what? Let's just say, you know, a turnover for every 7 or 8 turnovers getting them. That's terrible. That's absolutely terrible. You're just giving the other team. And also, we talk about, you know, turnovers matter in the fact that are they dead ball turnovers or you just throw it in that passing lane and it's 2-on-1 going the opposite way. Like, I didn't walk or offensive foul where it stops it, you get to get back on defense. More enough times that you turn it over live in play, you're just going to pay the biggest price. And the Celtics ultimately did.
Yeah. They certainly did. And here's the thing about that too, right? It wasn't like, man, there's all these other guys that would come in and turn the basketball over. I'm not saying, oh, Derek White or Peyton Pritchard were amazing, Donnie, but who is the main suspect, right? Who is the main, you know, committer of the crime? 100 turnovers this postseason. I think they might have played a clean.
Is that a record?
25. Yes. No, Donnie, it's not just a record. And like, he broke the single postseason turnover record games ago. He just became the first person to ever touch triple digits. Like, I'm not saying that he set a Joe DiMaggio hit streak record, Donnie, but he gave himself some distance between second place.
It's amazing. 100 turn. I mean, when you really think about it, it almost doesn't even computer even make some sense. But it is what it is. And we got a nice Friday show out here today. So if the people want to get involved again, you know the drill. It's 844-843-6879. Major League Baseball on the docket today. The Philadelphia Phillies are playing right now live versus the Washington Nationals. And a leadoff double by Kyle Schwarber gets things going against my guy, Yoán Adón. On the mound today. It's a shame that this was not a standalone 7 o'clock game because this would have been the centerpiece of probably my universe. And I got to tell you, K Dub, I went digging in like the farthest universes to try to get some things together today. So wait till you hear about some of these plays that I'm in on tonight. You're like, now hold on. Didn't even know these things even offered or you could parlay these things together. So it should be a fun episode today of Moneyline on a Friday. So stick with us right here on the Sports Grid Network at Sirius XM Channel 159. Donnie and Kevin, and we'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Lock it in, people. We are here on Friday. This is Moneyline on the Sports Grid Network. It's Donnie Wrightside along with Kevin Walsh. We are underway in Washington. Man on second base, one out. Bryce Harper at the plate and a 1-1 count. Didn't really go over this game all that much because it was a doubleheader, but I thought the thought process today when we reviewed it is, man, you should get runs today in the heat with bad pitching down in Washington between the Phillies and the Nationals. Even though the Nationals are bad, like Bailey falters on the mound today for the Phillies. I mean, come on now. Before I even just shred these two games, which we should get runs, you want to try to win, like the NL East. Why does it seem like the Phillies always just say, okay, doubleheader against one of the worst teams in baseball, we'll just give you one of those. We hope we win the other. It shouldn't be like that. You should have a legitimate pitcher on the mound in each game and smoke this Nationals team. But instead, you're just going to be like, hey, you know what always works? We put this guy out there, and he gets crushed. But you know what? Let's run him out there again today. Let me do that against the Dodgers in L.A. or something. Come on.
You know, I have to say, it's not that I am enjoying any type of misery for Donnie, but there's certain topics that crack me up. And there is something that over this, you know, year plus that we've been doing this, when the Phillies throw out a subpar pitcher, it is yet to not be absent. Because, again, it doesn't feel like the Phillies that, like, throw out, like, a middling guy, right? Like, Donnie's never complaining about a guy with a 4.2 ERA.
No.
It's a guy who you go, hold on now. Like, if this guy was pitching in single A yesterday, nobody would have batted an eye.
Yes. Correct. And that's always my anger. Granted, I know it goes on around Major League Baseball where sometimes you just can't avoid things. But it's always the Phillies that just get themselves involved in, we know how this is going to play out, but still we put this guy. I would rather the Phillies be like, you know what? We're just going to save an arm. We're just going to take an automatic loss in that second game as opposed to play. That's the way I feel. Because you shouldn't be able to, you should be able to run a fifth or sixth starter to go, hey, you know what? A veteran around, cut somebody and bring in some random veteran pitcher for that game. You know what I mean? Just a random guy, bring him in. If he could throw four innings, fantastic. But instead, you just bring up these guys that go like one and a third in a doubleheader and get smoked for six runs and be like, oh, man, I didn't see that coming.
And you know, we've talked about, right, you and I, when we've really kind of done our baseball recaps on the early line, the Yankees and their success. And I know I've made the point, and you've echoed the same sentiments of, obviously, look, Aaron Judge is like the story of their season. But that starting rotation, right? Gerrit Cole has a 3.33 ERA. The only starter in the rotation who's above a 3. I mean, think about that. If your ace has a 3.33, you'd like it to be better. It means you probably don't have a great staff, right?
Yeah.
But it's maybe not the end of the world. He's the only one above a 3. The point being, I think that's a big reason why we sit here with a 47-16 record when we look at the New York Yankees, is they do not throw out. Like, Don, I don't think there's going to be a single game this year where one of those five take the mound and you go, I'm circling Yanks team, you know, opponent Yanks team total.
Yeah. No, and it gets up there, and that's the, you know, a very good organization that has pitching depth. Because sometimes you can say, okay, well, hey, you got Nola Wheeler up top here. Gibson's giving you, you know, a lot of good starts. What more do you want? Well, it's, you know, those guys can give you the same good start. It's almost like the parent of, okay, you want to throw Nola out there, that's a win. But you're also going to throw a guy out there, that's an automatic loss. It sort of counterbalances itself. And I'm not saying you absolutely have to have your fifth pitcher be a legitimate ace that has an ERA of under 4. I'm just saying put a vet out there like, okay, like this guy can give you a good start, as opposed to like, what does the clubhouse think? Like, okay, Bailey Falter's in game 2. Boy, we better get on that horse, man. We better get on our horse here for game 2. As opposed to, okay, let's get out there. We got a legitimate chance to win this year.
That's just not what you're looking for. And
no.
One thing, I guess, with the Phillies, right? Like, I was having this conversation with someone the other day, and it was about the Angels as well. I was like, I think maybe they were kind of bagging on Trout and Harper, maybe just for their circumstance. I mean, there's someone who's being a little unfair to be, you know, to ultimately. But the kind of notion was like, those guys are not going to win in their current locations. Is that true? Is there not? It's not the point. But I was like, how about those teams do spend money? And it almost kind of goes to show that, like, it goes beyond that, right? Like, you have to spend money, but you have to spend it in all the right places. Where you spend, it has to connect. And really, probably what's the big problem the Phillies probably have, right, is they don't have an Aaron Judge or, you know, for Corey Seager for a while, and that a guy who came up through the ranks that's an absolute superstar, which saves you a ton of money.
Yeah. Yes, and that's why the Phillies are a top 5 payroll team, not because they want to, but it's out of necessity. And that's what I always talk like to open up the Major League Baseball season. You look at so many teams out there, you're right, you have a superstar player that you paid, but you have 3 guys that are very good players making like $2 million a year for the next 4 years because they don't get through their arbitration process. So if you're an owner of the Philadelphia Phillies, which John Middleton is, who has a lot of money and spends it, thank goodness, he's got to look at his scouting department and goes, guys, like, help me out here. Like, why every year do I have to spend hundreds of millions millions of dollars on, you know, players that have to get into left field, right field, center. Like, I should be picking up a bona fide stud every, like, hey, here's the next guy coming up through our system. Mm-hmm. Here's the next guy coming up through our system. And you see guys up like, okay, Bryson Stott. Yeah, great, 188. Oh, we're going to put in Matt Vierling. Okay, 190. Stop it. Like, somebody that comes up that takes the league by fire. Like, hey, did you see this rookie come up? It's been a long time for the Philadelphia Phillies.
And that shouldn't be. Because, no. As you said, they had bad down years where they were selecting what should have been the cream of the crop kind of guys.
And yes.
A lot of whiffs at the dish there. When, you know, those are the things that hurt, right? You mean, you know the names. We always laugh, you know, Mickey Moniak, Spencer Howard, Alec Bohm. Mm-hmm. I mean, Donnie, you'd bet a lot of money, I'm pretty sure, right, on under.
Yeah, Adam Hazen was a top 10 pick like 3-4 years ago. Quit the team like midseason. You know what I mean? I mean, it's Jesus. Like, you know how much leeway you get as a rook? Like, if you come in an organization, you're a top 10 draft pick. You're under like 7 years of major league service. Like, I'm not even talking about the pros. Like, you get every benefit where they will put you ahead of 10 guys because they want to feel good about where they drafted you. And he was like, you know what, midseason, I don't even like this game anymore, so I'm out. Imagine that. Imagine that.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not great. It's
no.
And like, now, I guess with something like that, though, like, obviously, you know, we're not knocking out of the park recruiting-wise. But I also then have to imagine the development aspect is also probably not covering themselves in glory either.
That's the biggest. You can't. Now, usually things balance themselves out. Like, if you're a really bad franchise and you say, okay, we're really bad. Well, if you have top 10 picks for 10 straight years, things usually even out, right? Like, they usually get better for your organization because you're drafting players that, quite frankly, probably don't need all that much instruction. Let them get out there and play baseball, and they'll be good. But you're right. You change their mentality as they get in their rookie A-ball, and then by the time like they hit like double or triple. Scott Kingery is a great one here. Comes out of college, looks like he's going to be the next like Dustin Pedroia. And the Phillies go, yeah, let's get a hold of this guy. Has a great minor league career in like Triple A. They bring him up to the majors, and like, all right, we know you're a second baseman. Here's what I need from you, kid. Can you play third base, shortstop, second base, first base, center field, right field, and left field, and still have enough time to remember how to hit at the plate? Guy's out of Major League Baseball at this point. And you give him 5 years, $25 million as a rookie. Like, man, this guy's a can't-miss guy. We're going to buy out his arbitration years. Horrendous. Horrendous.
You can't. And those are the things that'll set you back then, right? Because now all of a sudden you can't spend in the way that you were hoping, and it really, really puts you behind the eight ball. So those are the little things that end up sticking probably for an organization for a little bit there. And again, obviously for the – but here's the thing. We're talking very negative for a team that is playing some good baseball.
Yeah. And they're up 2-0 already here in the top of the first. But that's not a surprise.
Man,
that's why a don't. Get in the night. The 7 p.m. card. You could have really helped me out today in a couple measures. But here's what it is. It's Friday right here on Monday. Join the show with us. 844-843-6879. Baseball Center Stage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You heard the man. Don't rely on luck. Rely on the grid. That's us here Friday afternoon on Moneyline. It's Donnie Wrightside along with Kevin Walsh. Got a question for Kevin Walsh that I need answering here. How many titles does LeBron James have?
4.
How many titles does Steph Curry have?
4.
Got a new company up there, that top 5, huh?
Any 5? You know, all right. All right, so I saw a video last night on the timeline, okay? And it was one of those videos where, you know, and by the way, I'm not even going to try and point it out because I think the guy creates some pretty good content there. But, like, you know what I mean? So it's not meant to be kind of slander-based. But the premise was, like, attacking Skip for his nonsense. Because apparently, I didn't know this about – I have Skip Bayless, like, blocked. Because I don't want his stuff on my timeline when people, like ridiculously engage with it. So – I guess he really attacked Steph, which is surprising to me. I thought he would pump up Steph and try like a better than LeBron angle, to be honest. Yes. But whatever, I don't really care. Mm-hmm. But then the video kind of transforms into Steph is unquestionably top 10, and you'd make a really, really good case for him top 5. And then listed, here's the only people that I could tell you would be definitively better than him. And then this person listed Michael, LeBron, Kareem, Shaq, and Tim Duncan. And at that moment, right, I was like, see, this is kind of where I think sometimes you almost trap yourself when you say, oh, this guy's unquestionably top 10, maybe top 5.
Yes.
Because then you just literally followed it up by offering 5 names that you personally wouldn't even listen to Steph being better than. So you've already now said he's actually not top 5. And the names you didn't mention, now I'm not saying I'm there yet, right? But
yes.
Magic Johnson not mentioned, Larry Bird not mentioned, Kobe Bryant, Hakeem Olajuwon, Wilt Chamberlain, which are another 5 names. So again, is Steph top 10? If I sat down and did an all-time thing, he's got a good chance, right? But there is some level of debate. Don't you think that would still exist?
I would say yes. And he's not done yet. So we're not taking like a final look overall at his career because he might do one of those. Hey, you know what? I mean, you look at Steph Curry, and even if he's one of those players where look at LeBron James, the physicality is what gets him there, right? You still say to yourself when he plays next year, he's going to be a guy that is going to be a physical force. It's kind of different here looking at Steph Curry. Is Steph Curry the type of guy that can play till he's 45? No lie.
No shot.
Because what do you need out there? A 3-point shooter? He can't be like his dad, Del Curry. See, like he played for decades.
Oh, just I see being what that, you're saying.
Yeah, like, so, like I'll give you 10 minutes a game and I'll knock down 2 threes and go to the bench.
So I was picking it up from a different direction. Steph, though, to me, has had lingering health issues for so long in his career. So could Steph Curry be the 8th man on a basketball team at 39?
Yes.
Will he, though, right? Mm-hmm. Like, isn't that such an odd, like the Paul Pierce transition, right? Oh, God, but see, like, it's so unfair to even Steph Curry to put Paul Pierce in that same cat. Like, a guy Dirk Nowitzki, right?
Yes.
Like, Dirk was in Dallas forever, but they were no longer competing at a high level. It didn't matter that he started, right? But he was so slow. Like, I don't know if Steph physically, through what he's been through, holds up to be around for another. He's 34. Mm-hmm. If he's playing in the NBA, age 40 season, I'd actually be surprised. But the game translates. But I think he's honestly had more wear and tear than we kind of realize at times.
And do you want to? This isn't Del Curry, his dad, or like, let's just say Kyle Korver or J.J. Redick, who I'm not even knocking. Like, look, J.J. Redick made a lot of money in the NBA, but he's never been the guy. He's the marked ringer shooter on this team. Doesn't play much defense, but it serves a purpose. Like, Steph Curry's been at the top of the mountain. Is he going to want to just travel and be like the 9th guy? Like, hey, you know what, guys? You need 5 minutes out of me tonight where you need a bucket, like at the end of a quarter. I'll give it to you. He's making more money than God. Does he want to travel around the NBA away from his family to be a 9th player to say, hey, I was on 6 championship teams? I don't think he would want to do it. But I would say if he does want to, that's a great way to transition. Like, because everybody needs a shooter, and you're talking about, like, Udonis Haslam hanging around? Why can't Steph Curry?
Yeah, and Steph, to me, does jump off the page as a big, I just want to spend time with my family guy. Kind of coming down. Like, it's not like, you know how LeBron's going to try and stick around and see if he can play with his kid? Like, that's not going to be, Steph is like 10 years, I think, probably, if not more. Maybe more away from that. Like, I think he's got very, very young, a very young son. So that's not going to be something that you're aspiring for, right? He'll go out there, like, play on, like, the Corn Ferry Tour. I don't know, this U.S. Open field, he might sneak into that one year, honestly, at this rate, with some of the names that we've kind of seen rock up there.
Yes.
And I'll tell you this, too. Like, people are like, well, oh, he wants to put the 3-point record out of reach. Maybe he does that. But you have to understand, Steph, when you look at that all-time list and LeBron is, like, 5th in all-time made threes, it kind of serves as a reminder of, Like, oh, yeah, people weren't shooting threes for a long time in NBA history. So just that all-time number is actually probably more attainable than people realize.
Yeah, even when the three ball initially came in, it was widely known around the league. It was a bad – imagine that, the analytics guys now. Like back then, that's a bad shot. You shoot the three. You settle for three, that's a bad shot out there. My goodness now. Now it's like, well, if you settle for this two, I don't want you on the basketball court. Mm-hmm. But it is interesting to see where Steph Curry's place in history is right now and where it could be. Because I don't – there's more titles. Like if Steph Curry ended up with seven titles would bounce around the league, is he viewed as the greatest player of all time? No.
Yeah.
No, not necessarily.
So, and again, like, you know, there's a very funny debate I had last night with Gabe where he, I mean, you can read that he basically ended up kind of like tipping the cap at the end of it, of the importance of a finals MVP. If Steph goes and grabs a championship in the same way, you know, Andre Iguodala grabbed one this year, I mean, it means absolutely nothing. Yeah. Andre Iguodala was in there for a ceremonial, like, final two. But, like, to be honest with you, if he grabbed the title in the same way Jordan Poole did this year, does it matter? Like, the seventh man on a basketball? When you're comparing him to others, right? Like, that doesn't really cut through as much, right? Where you're trying to make an argument that he's better than Tim Duncan. And Tim Duncan was starting in finals games until his last days. Like, does that really matter? Probably not.
Yeah, you want to be the guy. Like, when you win titles, you want to be the guy, or at least have your hand in winning it. Not like, well, you know, I averaged 9 minutes a game in the NBA Finals. We won, but I was seventh on, like, points per game over those nine. It's like Carson Wentz winning a Super Bowl in Philadelphia. Yeah, he can call himself a Super Bowl champion, but deep down inside, he's like, you know what, man? That's really not my ring, you know, even though he's a big part of it. But unless you play, I'm talking even, let's just say Carson Wentz goes all the way up to the NFC title game. He was up 35-0 or whatever, 35-7 on Minnesota. He blows his knee out. Next weekend, you have Nick Foles goes and wins it. And Wentz is still looking at that ring going, that's not really even my ring, man. Like, you got to be on the field playing minutes, meaningful minutes to cash in that.
Any honest Eagle fan is aware that they do not win that Super Bowl
without
the position Carson Wentz put them in. Yeah. However, nobody who wants to be taken serious would call Carson Wentz a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Yeah,
that's the difference. That's an accurate difference between the two things. But you know, that's the thing with that. You know, with the Warriors is how long can this all last? Look, everything is gravy right now. Their offseason is now, it could be for better, but there's a lot of question marks around that group. I don't know if people realize this, but the overwhelming sentiment around Andrew Wiggins is they will be shipping him off as they look to improve their roster. And then basically Donnie went out there and was otherworldly, of course, you know, relative to expectations in the finals. Like, that is not a team that I would guarantee being completely intact next year. Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins were on Instagram Live laughing, smiling, and saying, you're going to get a bag. No, you're going to get a bag.
Oh,
no, we're going to get a bag. Payday is coming for both of those guys.
They got big wallets out there in San Francisco. Do you remember when Kevin Durant shattered his leg and Klay Thompson shattered his? Like, yeah, no problem, man. Max deal's all the way around if they want to all stay here. And doesn't matter. Even if they come back, we'll give a max deal.
Yeah, but as the story goes, they basically paid KD because they lied to him and told him that he had no chance of re-injury. And then he rushed out there and lost a year of basketball off of his career, which obviously they felt immense guilt over, and rightfully so.
KD had the burner out there. Do we ever get the explanation there from KD? What happened? What went wrong? No, why I ended up in Brooklyn?
Was he tweeting through it last night by chance? Was he like, good for my guys, like pretending like he was actually happy for him when we all know that he wasn't? I mean, what's the deal there?
I do like the fact that KD was at home. You know, he probably wasn't with any of his crew, nothing. Mm-hmm. Sat there alone during that game, like, come on, Boston. Come on, Boston. Come on. And as that game started to get out of rack, you know where you put some, you leave like a vested interest in a player, a pick, or a side, like, oh, I can't wait to put this out there and really get after it, and it doesn't go your way, and you're watching that game like, man, this ain't going to be fun for me on Twitter over the next couple hours or days here. That's what KD got.
But again, like the other team in the running was Boston. It's one of the biggest mistakes you will ever see a player make, that decision. And he won two finals MVPs, and I stand by that. It was a massive mistake for him.
Ah, KD. Boy, how much KD are we going to talk over this summer? Who knows? But we got a lot more to talk about today on Moneyline. So join us, SiriusXM Channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into Moneyline on a Friday. It's Donnie and Kevin putting that bow on the NBA season, and this felt like the way it felt, ended last year for me. Like, whew, all right, it's not that bad to see the NBA go because my wallet started to get impacted by it towards the end of the season. But nonetheless, we head into the off season and baseball is going to take center stage. But as I say that, like we have, I usually go over the rundown this morning, like early in the morning. Around 5 a.m., see what K-Dub's cooking up here for the early line. I saw the NFL segment to end the show. And I saw, like, oh, we're going to talk about four games to open the season. And I'm just like, sounds about right, I guess. And then we started to talk to us, like, man, you know what? You forget how NFL season works in the content business and in your lives as you drive around the car where that's all you think about. Like you can do off-season breakdowns of week one and be like, man, let me fire this bet in. I hope it's this Sunday. I could see it going this way. It just never ends. Like, I didn't know how that segment was going to be like, all right, can we kill, I don't know, 15 minutes on this? And it was like, man, we could just hit this entire card and go up and down for week one NFL.
It was kind of funny, but when I was kind of piecing everything together, you know, last night, obviously, I knew we were going to do the NBA a lot, right? But I was like, we don't need to do all 2 hours on it. Like there's other stuff going on. And, like, not just, like, other small stuff, but other big stuff. But I was also like, we are going to be introducing a lot more NFL into the shows now that the NBA is done.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, let me just take a look at the week one slate. And I picked out four games, truthfully.
Yeah.
You'd be hard-pressed to find four better games for you and I, based on kind of the topics that we've liked to talk about, to sink our teeth into. And that's why, like, it's kind of funny, like you hear Donnie saying, like, oh, I didn't know what we were going to be doing. All I wrote was the four games in the topic sheet with no explanation. And I usually like out to be like, hey, Donnie, so here's my point. I didn't say anything. And my first question to you was, Rams-Bills is the first game of the year. What do you think about that? You know, and like, and we just went. And it just flowed because, I mean, that's the NFL.
Yeah, it's tremendous stuff. As it, you know, you start to break it down and say how close it's getting. Like, I was just driving around the car the other day, and like, my wife could care less about football. And I was like, do you know in like 2 weeks it's July, which basically means training camps start in July. That means it is football season. And you sort of get that eye roll, like, I thought it was just football season, like, you know, a month and a half ago, which it was. Yeah. But that's how you think about it, because it's like almost like that dark day of the Super Bowl where you say to yourself, how am I going to get through the rest of the winter? How am I going to make it to next football season? You enjoy college basketball, the opening up of baseball, weather gets a little bit warmer, and all of a sudden you're like, now hold on, football season is coming.
Yeah, which is tremendous. It's absolutely fantastic. And, again, we could have gone through all those games there. But there's like, just to give people an example of, you know, one of those games, right? And I'll take maybe the least interesting of the group. But Niners-Bears.
Yes.
I mean, you have a San Francisco 49er team that is almost a touchdown favorite. Yes. On the road, and we feel like we know next to nothing about their quarterback situation. And what I mean by that is, it's very, very likely Trey Lance is the starter. Sliver of a chance it's Garoppolo. What do we know about Trey Lance? But imagine, like, Donnie, I put it to you, like, if I pick Zach Wilson up out of the Jets and just said, hey, he's going to start for the Niners week one, like, would the line still just be 6.5? Like, is that what we're doing?
Like, it's just almost like that set in stone line. Like, it doesn't matter what the Bears are bringing to the table. It doesn't matter what the 49ers are bringing to the table. We just don't trust Justin Fields and the Bears here to be competitive with the 49ers. Now, man for man, the 49ers are better, but what's the most important position on that field? What, Trey Lance going to be opening day? Chicago, rabid crowd, because Chicago thinks, yes, everybody thinks they're good opening day.
100%,
you know?
So.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, as if, you know, we're kind of be, like, stuck in our way giving you picks today. But the early thought when you see that is, I hope it gets to a flat 7. Give me the points. Teaser game when we're ripping off our pick sixes again, right? Like, I'll put it to you in another perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Don, I tell you, Trey Lance starts that game, and on Monday morning, we're breaking down a Bears win. Scale of 1 to 10, how surprising.
Wow. I would be a little bit surprised, but boy, that would be a fun day talking about how bad Trey Lance was opening day. Like, oh man, did they want their pick back? How did it end up this way? And where did it go off the rails? Yes.
Yeah. Oh, it'd be full of slander, but on a shock scale,
yeah,
I don't know, a 3, a 4. I mean, that's not stunning. That basically, I know he's had a couple starts last year, but it was such a whirlwind, like. The weight of the world, he'll feel like it on his shoulders in that game. He doesn't answer the bell in Chicago. I can't say that's stunning, right? And here's the other. What's about and we didn't even unpack the other side of the field because, again, it's June. But Justin Fields is a guy that through every stop of his career was viewed as Trevor Lawrence's equal, like a surefire elite NFL quarterback. And what they did in Chicago was so bad, we were batting over 170 passing yards for this kid at normal juice and losing, by the way. What are the expectations on Justin Fields? I can't even tell you.
It's not as if you went out and said, I'm going to lace you with 3 dominant wideouts to see if you can really pass.
No.
It's almost like you're looking at him saying, that same feeling you have now, Lamar Jackson's an established quarterback in the NFL. They didn't do him any favors this year. Hey, man, you're good enough to go out there and win on your own. It's almost like when you have that young quarterback, which is the surprise where the Eagles, where I continue to joke, like, they're still waiting for the starting quarterback and things, but at least they're saying, all right, well, in the meantime, we're not just going to leave you to hang out there to prove a point, even if we didn't really want you as our quarterback. Here's a first-round draft pick, and then also here is A.J. Brown. See what you can do with a really good offensive line, good tight end, and running game. All right, great. Maybe I can sink, or, you know, if I sink, it's my fault. Maybe I can swim here because you're helping me out. It's like, what do you expect Justin Fields to do? Say, remember how talented you were at Ohio State? Yeah, well, just get out there and do the same thing without as much talent. That's tough.
And that's the we know that how much situation matters for all players in all sports, but no more than a rookie quarterback. And that's why, listen, it'd be very hard for me to convince anybody that Josh Rosen, if he just gets a chance, would be a great NFL quarterback. But Josh Rosen was allowed to start 1-2 games his rookie year, worst team in the NFL. Mm-hmm. But next to nothing being offered up, coach fired immediately, it felt like. And basically, they were like, yeah, we've seen enough, you're gone. And could you imagine the shock with Josh Rosen? Like, hold on a minute. You picked me 10th overall, and that meant nothing? Cliff Kingsbury's like, Josh Rosen's our quarterback? And that meant nothing? Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yes, and because we have to remember, even in that unique situation, it wasn't as if it was, you know, the ousting of Davis Mills, who, even though he did play decently, he was still not, like what is he, a third-round pick? Very easy to get rid of those guys. It's really hard to fathom saying, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to drop my first-round draft pick, top 10, immediately, and go after another quarterback. That's madness.
Like, the Giants are still giving Daniel Jones a chance this year.
Yeah.
Like, right? It would be the equivalent if this year, instead of Sauce Gardner, the Jets went up there and took Kenny Pickett.
Yes.
Imagine you wouldn't even be able to understand it, right? It would be the most surprise. It'd be like, hold on, what were you doing last year? And that's why I say always one of the wildest things is that Bidwell let Klein keep his job. Who gets to go out there, hire a coach, draft a first-round quarterback, and get it so wrong that you ditch both after 1 year?
Yes.
And it's your job.
You're talking about guaranteed, yes, top pick. And also you're talking about a coach that probably had a five-year, $20 million minimum contract. It's like, hey boss, can you eat the final $15 million and I need to hire a guy? And we really have to pry him loose. So it's going to cost twice as much as the previous coach. Yeah, you know what? That sounds good. That sounds good. Go ahead and make it happen. And you want an extension yourself? Sure. Thank you.
Yes. And, like, the weird part is, like, you'd maybe be like, but didn't he get it right? Like, Cliff and Kyler, like, I guess, like, congrats, you got the number one overall.
Yes, and you got it right.
Like, and by the way,
Bill Polian, yeah, that's one of my favorite Bill Polian stories, where he had Peyton Manning number one, and he really makes you believe that it's I had the deciding vote, so we didn't take Ryan Leaf. Shut up, man. It was Peyton Manning all along. My goodness. You know what I mean? Jeez.
Yeah. Like, just look, and then whoever, like, was running stuff when, you know, like, come on, I took Andrew Luck over RG3.
Exactly.
Did you even get it right, people are asking?
One of the best GMs of all time. He took Peyton Manning number one overall.
Yeah.
Congratulations, man.
They nailed it. They absolutely nailed it. I mean, it is incredible, right? This is what I'm like. This is how this stuff just snowballs. Because now my mind is to be honest with you, Donnie, we just did this whole thing and I basically forgot. Even though we talked about the same guys in the same – Trey Lance and Justin Fields is like a battle of the same quarterback class.
Yes.
Don't they just feel like they operate under two different planets, those two guys?
They do. They do. Because I remember that whole thing was like the guaranteed pick in the room was Mac Jones. We traded up like 19 draft picks to give away Mac Jones, which sounded so ridiculous, but that's the word that got out of San Francisco. Then they switched it up for Lance. I still can't – it's such a great talking point. This team, very rarely do you see a team on the cusp of a Super Bowl trade in and sort of say, okay, we want to stay good but still have our future quarterback in the draft. It was just such an odd thing. We always get a kick out of, boy, if they would have just waited or kept picking up the phone, like Aaron Rodgers would have been their quarterback, and they would have stomped everybody on their way to a Super Bowl. And instead, they ended with Trey Lance and no Super Bowls.
I don't know what it is about Trey Lance, too. I think you out there driving around, sitting at home, I think you are listening to two pretty measured sports broadcasters. And we both can't help ourselves but label Trey Lance anything other than the biggest bust since Ryan Leaf. What is it about Trey Lance that you and I have both been absolutely like, yeah, I mean, is this guy the worst quarterback we've ever seen? People are asking. It does feel that way.
He's so talented because he really is when you watch him play. He's got the big arm. He's got enough moxie to sit back there, and he could rush for 100 yards if he wanted to. But I don't even think – and I would say this. It's not our fault we're thinking this way. It's the 49ers' fault because when you draft a guy that high, all you're supposed to hear out of camp is, this guy is sensational. Oh, my goodness. This was our two-year plan to get him in there. He's fighting for the job this year right out of training camp as a rookie, and all we got was – it's going to take some time. And like, like for a Super Bowl caliber team to say this might take some time and we ruined our draft for the next 3 years because of this, that's where. It's not my fault that I don't think he's very good. San Francisco is telling me, Kevin, that they don't think he's very good.
And we were like, man, Donnie, there were people with a modicum of respect in this business anteing up on Trey Lance MVP last season. Yeah. He couldn't beat Garoppolo for the job. And secretly can't.
Still might not now. He still might not now, people. All right, one short segment before we hit the top of the hour here on Moneyline, SiriusXM Channel 159. It's Donnie and Kevin on a Friday afternoon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, quick segment here before we hit the top of the hour on Moneyline. Friday afternoon, U.S. Open is underway. Leader is Taryn at -4. Who'd have thought that, K-Dub? My guy, Taryn?
I saw, hold on, let's see if I can locate this, though, that was speaking to your point. Ready? So this tweet came out. I don't have the exact time of day. Official world golf ranking of the top 10 players on the board. 3, 445, 592, 296, 130, 371, 259, 166, 50. I mean, come on.
Doesn't sound good. And by the way,
what is happening?
Like, we look at the Open, right? Ricky Fowler's not playing in this. There's 156 guy for a field.
Yeah, what's...
And this guy wasn't even good enough to qualify.
Yeah,
and we're talking about, like, out of the 156, probably 56 I've never heard of in my life. And Ricky Fowler, who's been on the tour forever, playing in majors, and he wasn't good enough to get in this? How did I? What did I miss here? Did I miss something?
Yeah, it's a really, it's legitimately a really good question of what is the criteria that kept him out,
man,
but somehow like world golfer rank 562 is here in the tournament throwing it down and finding himself at the top of the. I have no idea, and like the only thing though about this like. Does it matter if it's a whole bunch of nobodies? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, for I guess it probably does. It's very odd. Like, why is it such a? Is it their own fault though for letting all the no names in? Basically, like somebody was gonna catch a fire. I guess.
I don't know. It's very odd. But I see him, you know, not qualifying on Monday, where he had to win a tournament to get in, and then I see the names on this list where they're in there, and I say, my goodness. Have the mighty have fallen. But 2 o'clock hour is coming up here. Major League Baseball on the docket. Phillies with a 2-0 lead. We'll keep you posted up on everything right here on Moneyline, SiriusXM Channel 159.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk. Breathe, rechalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.